Richard Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, boy! You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Welcome to one of the world's fastest-growing game sensations. Which one is more cloying? That's right. Which one of the sound clips that you're about to hear is more agitating? As always, acting as your federal head, and I apologize in advance, our own one and only, our only.
I hope so.
Because there is only one.
That's right.
Handsome Jimmy Hicks, are you prepared for your most earnest responsibility to represent the tens and tens of people in determining which one is more cloying?
That's my favorite pastime.
Can cloying be used, like, is cloy actually just a verb? Cloying, can you think of, I'm going to cloy at you. That sure did cloy me. No, it's just cloying. I don't know how else you can. Here we go. Which one is more cloying? Our first contestant. Oh, boy. Back to Minnesota we go. Oh, this hurts. What happened to my beautiful home state? It used to be so, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, unwoke. What you're about to hear are a number of pastors who decided to walk into the lobby of the Target HQ, which is right in, I think it's on Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis. It's a lovely building. It's a lovely lobby. These are clearly progressive clergy. Each and every one of them seems to have bought the stole at the same store. All rainbows.
Hey, we shall not be moved. We just stay here all day, and we shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.
I don't appreciate the allusion to Psalm 1, because that's biblical, and I don't know what these clergy are doing, alluding to the Bible.
We shall not be moved.
Okay, there was a little harmony there. This isn't very clever. And they don't sing in parts. Don't you love it when you go to a church where people, it's as if they actually learned how to read music in school? Oh yeah, we used to do that. We gave that up. At any rate, and they break off into four parts. Oh man. If you've never been to a church like that, here's what typically happens. Everybody sings the first verse and everybody sings the melody. And then boom, second verse breaks off into four parts. But apparently, not if you're a progressive clergy in the lobby of Target.
Shopping elsewhere.
We are shopping elsewhere.
Hey.
We shall not be moved.
Hey. Don't you go stealing our evangelical boycott strategy.
We are shopping elsewhere. We shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.
Well, which is it? Everything's just like a tree?
We shall not be moved.
There you have it, Jimmy. That would be cloying clip number one.
That's a good one.
That cloyed at you?
Yeah, it did.
I'm trying. Clip number two. Oh, the choices. All righty. I can't recall who sent this in, but I will tell you, to the person who sent this in, I don't like you. Because, I gavilta fish, Larry, this is a church. Okay, it calls itself a church. It's just, you'll have to envision this for yourself. This is a man who is dressed up in a Superman costume. I mean, like the whole, like, you know, and it's like the inflated, I don't know how it works, but it makes it look like he's all muscular and he's wearing the tights and the spandex and the cape. And now he's going to preach a sermon.
I
I'm here to say Happy Christmas to you from the entire Superman family. So Happy Christmas from Superman and Supergirl and Superboy and Power Girl.
You know, it could have been worse. I'm just trying to look on the bright side here. He didn't come out and say, so how's everybody doing this Christmas? See, it could have been worse.
And Crypto the dog and Comet the horse, they all say Happy Christmas also. Now, Pele, come here. Pele, don't you think this is a good idea?
Charlie, no. No, nobody thinks it's a good idea. You've got the best source material in the world in the Bible. The best. You couldn't work with anything finer. This is like being a cook in the kitchen, supposedly a professional chef with the finest ingredients in the world, and all you can make is Taco Bell. You shouldn't be in that kitchen is what I'm trying to say. You've got the richest, wisest, bestest, most ethereal book, and you can't make it interesting at Christmas time. You got to put on a Superman costume and then invoke some dude to make jokes.
And a cape.
Charlie, what is this all about? Superman is not Christmassy.
Superman is so Christmassy. So, Jesus is very like Superman.
Let's go with no, he's not. You can't preach from Luke 2, but you come up with Jesus is very much like Superman. Dude, you're so in the wrong business. And by the way, the church where he's prancing around in a Superman costume is the former church of the late John R.W. Stott. Oh, listen. Listen for that sound. That's right. That would be Dr. Stott spinning in his grave like a lathe. That's clip number two, Jimmy.
Okay.
All Saints Church right there.
Yeah.
That was the rector donning a Superman costume.
That's Christmassy.
Very, very. Because Jesus is just like Superman. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just see how ridiculous we can make this, shall we? Because any comparison with Jesus is going to be lesser. Nothing even comes remotely close. Jesus is a lot like Underdog. Offended yet? Jesus is a lot like Gumby. Mm-hmm. You'd go, excuse me, what are you doing? You're degrading a descriptor of our Savior by comparing him to a superhero? No, that was clip number two, Jimmy. You ready for clip number three?
I guess.
I sure hope it lasts a long time because I don't want to get to clip number four. I'm just telling you that. Here's Tony Robbins offering some of his wisdom that he's gleaned over the year from his own musings. No source, no authority, but he's helping people.
Why were you suicidal? There is a house built out. What makes you hate yourself? Is it the red shoes?
Okay. I'm sorry. There's a man at one of his events. I'm looking at his face. He's holding a microphone because he wants to ask the guru a question. And he informed the guru that he's suicidal. He's like, he looks like he wants to end his life right now. Did you hear what Tony Robbins said? He made a joke.
Why were you suicidal? There is a house built out. What makes you hate yourself? Is it the red shoes?
What?
Is it the red shoes?
No.
Are you sure? Because they're f***ing red.
I'm agitated by this. This man is hurting.
If you smile like that too much, you'll want to stick around.
This is a pleasure. Oh, yourself. Right.
I love that you have such high standards. But those aren't high standards. That's called perfection. And most people overestimate what they can do in a year. And they underestimate what they can do in two or three decades. And you haven't been around long enough to have those extra two or three decades. There's time. And if you give yourself just a little bit of time, And if you'll be a little more loving to yourself, I think you're going to find you got a lot to give.
There it is. There's the wisdom of the world on full display, courtesy of a multi-gazillionaire, Tony Robbins, helping a man. I'm looking at his face again. He's ready to lose it. And he gets jokes about his tennis shoes and some cookie, fortune cookie wisdom that will do absolutely nothing for the man. You know what, Jimmy? Suddenly, clip number four sounds pretty good. It's Jesse Duplantis. That fellow, he normally just gets so far up my nose. But after listening to Tony Robbins,
So I'm going to say something going to shock you. When you see me, you see the Father. You see the Son.
Hold it. Sorry. My apologies to Tony Robbins. You're doing fine, dude.
You see the Holy Ghost. You see God incarnate. So you're mad at me because I'm blessed? Well, I'm just acting like my dad.
Jimmy, which one is most cloying?
I was going to say Tony Robbins.
But Jesse won, didn't he?
That was blasphemy.
Hands down.
You be the judge.
You want answers?
That man.
You want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This
order in the court.
Is Wretched Radio.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though. It's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Revelation. God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You want to hear some more, Jimmy?
What did I do to you?
More Jesse Duplantis?
Well, as long as you insist, this is Wretched Radio. This guy.
You mad at me because I live in a mansion? I'm just acting like my father. Because he living in a mansion. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching.
He's preaching good.
You're not preaching at all.
Oh, man. He just never gets sick. Well, I'm just acting like my father.
As he holds his eyeglasses. Okay.
He took my infirmity. Boy, he didn't want, watch this. He didn't want sickness on the flesh.
Jesse, are you going to be like your pal Ken Copeland and never die? Is that what's going to happen here? You're just going to live? Oh, I see. So you just keep up your charlatan game, trying to persuade people that they can be just like you and be perfectly healthy. He's not. Okay, there's HIPAA laws, but if somebody has access to Jesse Duplantis' medical records, we don't need the details, but I just like to know how thick they are, because I'm guessing he's had some issues over the years.
Why? Because he dwelt in it. And dwells in it. He doesn't visit. He dwells.
What is he talking about?
I think a lot of good things about me because Christ in me, the hope of glory. You call it bragging, I call it dwelling.
I call it insanity. He's talking like a sausage. He's talking, you know what he sounds like? Don Lemon in the religion realm.
He dwells in me and I dwell in him. Some people get mad because I said something about a watch the other day. You know why? Because they don't have one, I guess.
Wow. Nasty.
They don't realize. Would you got mad if you saw God wearing a fine watch?
Oh.
No.
You know Jesus and his fine watch collection. You know, that whole donkey thing, it was a ruse. It was actually covered in Prada. So don't be deceived. Jesus, ka-ching, and he loved the bling. Can that tweet, did I just write a rap song? Or is that a contemporary Christian worship
yeah, that
song?
That too.
Right there. This is so tragic. Old Testament, it focuses a lot on the physical. Just preached on this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church that there were three types of inheritances, from the lesser to the greater. The lesser would be a father's inheritance to the firstborn son, who received a double portion, by the way. That was one of the inheritances that people looked forward to, unless, of course, you were the second born. Not so much. Second inheritance was the land to the children of Israel. And then the third inheritance, which was the best inheritance, was God. God is your inheritance. He's your treasure. Those are Old Testament inheritances. In the New Testament, it really, the inheritance is that third one, the best one, spiritual. Most people in the Old Testament, their primary concern was physical, just surviving, not being invaded, having enough food on the table. And to receive a blessing of an inheritance, something of the estate of the father passed along, living in the land of Israel as a sign of God's favor, that was the focus of an inheritance. In the New Testament, the focus is spiritual blessings. And by the way, in the Old Testament, designer watches or whatever it is that this fellow is selling as something that a Christian should have, they wouldn't have imagined such things. Now, that is why, by the way, the prosperity preachers always preach from the Old Testament. They rarely find anything in the New Testament. Why? Because it's all about spiritual blessings. Because you have an inheritance. It's a now-then inheritance. Right now, you have all kinds of spiritual blessings. You've got eternal life. Right now, you say, wait a second, eternal life. Don't I have to die? No, Jesus died so you could have eternal life. Right now, present tense, ongoing, forever. You're justified. You're adopted. You have access to God. You have fellowship with the Father. You have all of these things because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's better than a watch, Jesse. That's better than a piece of property. But there's more to come. Peter, 1 Peter, and it's fascinating that we remember that Peter is in the context of suffering. that suffering is assumed for the saint, that suffering is just a part of the normal life, not the perfect health. What a bunch of nonsense. I wonder how many times he's been in the OR, how many times he's been in the back of an ambulance. How old, Jimmy? How old is Jesse Duplantis? He's 70-something, I would think. Still putting on his clown show. I'm sorry, this guy really agitates me. He calls himself the Father. He calls himself the Son and the Holy Spirit.
So I'm going to say something going to shock you.
Yeah, you are.
When you see me, you see the Father.
Does he even know he's quoting Jesus? I doubt it, because he probably rarely reads the New Testament. How old is he, Jimmy?
76.
Hang it up, dude. Hang it up. Just please fly off in one of your jets to one of your mansions. Just stop bilking people, because that's what he's doing. He's just bilking people.
You just mad because you don't have one.
Yeah, that's it. Besides, it's just that cloying thing that he does. It just, And there's people there who don't know what they're missing. They are not being pointed toward their eternal inheritance. What does Peter say about it? He gives six exclamation points. He gives six clarifying truths about your inheritance that should cause us to go, I want to be there now. Furthermore, it will cause you to endure this trial, this fiery trial that you're currently in. That's what Peter does. It's brilliant. He talks about your Trinitarian salvation. He talks about everything that you have in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That you have a living hope. You have an inheritance, so that even for a little while you experience trials, you may rejoice greatly. Why? Because he's pointing you toward the truth of your inheritance, not bling. Your inheritance, and how does he describe it? It's incorruptible. It's not going away. Your inheritance, it is stored up in the safest place in the universe. It's in heaven. It is unsullied. It's perfectly pure. There's nothing tainted about it. It's like the finest diamond quality, the purest gold. That's your inheritance. It's guarded by God, guarded by him. Present tense, he's guarding your inheritance for you. It's imperishable. It's never going to end. And it's going to one day be revealed. And you're going to be there because you are being kept, not your inheritance. You are being kept for your inheritance. And Peter points them toward the spiritual inheritance that we have in heaven, a new body that won't have aches and pains. I wonder how many pills Jesse takes every day as he goes about telling people he's in perfect health. Liar. Oh, these charlatans. Oh. I got to watch it, because what I'm feeling right now could be righteous indignation. It could just be anger. I find it so blasphemous what he does in his suit. He's got red shoes on too. That's kind of a twist, isn't it? Your inheritance in heaven, it is staggering what awaits you. A new body. It's going to last for forever. No more aches, no more pains, no more waking up going, ooh, that is kind of a new one right there. Nope, all gone, all done. You get to see God. You get to be with the saints for all of eternity. All the guilt, all the shame, gone. It's just gone. Now, will you remember the sinful things that you've done? I suspect so. So that we can appreciate the sacrifice of our Savior. But it's not going to haunt you anymore. Your conscience cleansed. Guilt and shame, you're never going to feel that again. And you're going to have joy. That's what he gets to a little bit later, probably around verse 9. That you're going to rejoice and have great joy. Because you haven't seen him, but you love him. You're not seeing him, but you believe in him. But you're going to see him. And on that day, your breath will be taken away. You are going to you're going to have such short hyper breaths because you've never seen anything like Jesus. And what does Jesse Duplantis point you toward? Himself. Oh, needless to say, I think we can say that's the lesser thing. And whether it's Jesse or any other preacher that doesn't point to the best object in the universe should not be in that profession, because you're pointing to the lesser. And the whole purpose of the creation of the universe is that God wants to point us toward the greater, and the greater is himself. The greater is his son. The greater is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating you so that we can obey God, so that we can become Christ-like, and so that we can enjoy him forever. And any preaching that points to a mere mortal or to a wristwatch, dude, find another career. This, sorry for being sour, is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, he's apparently feeling nostalgic for the good old days of globalist buzzwords. During his recent trip to communist China last week, Carney declared himself heartened by the leadership of President Xi Jinping and announced that Canada-China cooperation sets them up nicely for a new world order. Yeah, he actually said that out loud. Conservative MPs were quick to note that wasn't exactly a winning campaign slogan. And then Carney, instead of walking it back, he doubled down by telling reporters that Canada's relationship with China is more predictable than dealing with President Trump's administration. Meanwhile, a top staffer for a Soros-backed prosecutor in Minneapolis found himself on camera during Sunday's anti-ICE church protest. You know, the one where the activists stormed a worship service, declared it the house of the devil, and chanted until worshipers fled into the parking lot. Jamil Lundy works as intergovernmental affairs coordinator for the county attorney, meaning he's literally the person who interfaces with federal authorities. He's also running for state senate as a Democrat. A teacher in Ontario has finally settled a defamation lawsuit against the Waterloo Regional School District Board 4 years after being kicked out of a board meeting for questioning LGBT books in elementary school libraries. Her crime? Noting that some materials made serious medical interventions on children seem simple or even cool. The board chair publicly called her transphobic. She was removed from her classroom after 20 years of teaching, and she eventually suffered a breakdown requiring hospitalization. In Australia, a 71-year-old man with motor neuron disease is choosing assisted suicide because he can't get adequate disability care. Tony Lewis doesn't qualify for Australia's National Disability Insurance Scheme because he's 6 years past the age of cutoff. The program that does cover him provides less than a third of the care he needs. His wife provides round-the-clock assistance while navigating a bureaucracy that takes 6 months just to process a new assessment. The assisted suicide application, well, that just took 9 days. Finally, some good news. The British government created a propaganda video game warning teenagers about far-right extremism, featuring a purple-haired character named Amelia as the villain. British citizens responded by turning Amelia into a patriotic meme, flooding social media until the government quietly shut the whole thing down. Sometimes the internet does get it right. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you could do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The question is not, did it strike a nerve, but why did it strike a nerve? This is Wretched Radio, a New York Times Christianity Today, and pretty much anybody who was downright gleeful to report a fellow who had sold 15 million Christian books, been in ministry for decades, married for almost 50 years, and decided, I think I need to have an 8-year affair with another woman. Hey, correction. Did I say affair? Somebody sent an email after we talked about the Philip Yancey story here on Wretched Radio and said, not an affair. It sanitizes it. He committed adultery. Thank you for that correction. We talked about it a bit to see what lessons we might learn. Did a video on the subject about why these things happen to older men. And this is noteworthy. I haven't seen it for a bit, but I think 330,000 views on a video that was addressed to men over the age of 50 to identify why those types of tumbles take place and what you can do to shore it up and finish well. It clearly struck a nerve. The question is why? Why? Well, I'm going to look on the bright side because, well, I'm just a natural born optimist. I think it's because a lot of Christian men, they don't want to tumble. And that's a good thing, isn't it? I think there could have just been some people that were looking. It's like, ooh, is this going to be gossipy? I hope it wasn't. But I wonder also if it's because we're not addressing this subject enough from the pulpit or in our churches. I checked out publishing. I think I found one book about finishing well that addresses men who are over 50, who it's not like it's like a totally different life experience, but it is a different life experience than when you're 20. Things change. I mean, body changes, your thinking, your processing, your emotions, the dynamic of your marriage changes, your relationship with your kids. It's different. And it's pretty clear a lot of guys get thrown into a tailspin and they go looking for what they think is love in all the wrong places. I think we do well to ask ourselves the question, if this YouTube video is any sort of objective evidence that there is a great deal of interest in wanting to know, how do I not become like that fellow who fell? I don't want that. I don't want my life to end in shame and in tragedy. Oh, it's a sad story. I wonder if we're not talking about it enough. I think we have a tendency to talk to particular people groups inside of the church. I think maybe pastors have a proclivity. And maybe just like, oh, this hurts. Jimmy said last week, I think it was you who said this, Jimmy, that young guys, they never want to approach older guys right to correct them. I wonder if young pastors are afraid of doing that, of talking to the older men in the congregation. Hey, I just thought of a Bible verse. Didn't Paul talk about this with Titus? And he actually broke up the church into demographics of age. Older men, younger men. Maybe Paul knew something we didn't. I think that's a truism that works across the board. That there are older men need addressing. So do younger men. Not either or. Both need addressing. And I wonder if we're not addressing it enough. I wonder if we're not talking about those life changes. Peter Heck wrote an opinion piece for Not the Bee. And at first I was like, where are you going with this, Peter? But then I went, ooh, think the dude has a point here. His focus in an article titled, What Can We Learn from the Tragic Error of Philip Yancey? He focuses on what love is. What is love? What is love? I know. Our former president said love is love. But what is it? What is that? When what's the best type of love? Now, we know from the Greek language, there are different types of love. There can be familial. There can be friend love. There's marital. There's for children. There's a romantic love. So there's different shades of love. There are different kinds of love. But in a marriage, when we just say, do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? What type of love are we talking about? Because Peter's musing is that too many men grow older and they start to listen to the world's definition of love, which is fun, baby. You still got it, daddy-o. Hey, 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 you're still a catch. Wouldn't this be exciting? This would be fresh. That ain't love. It's not love. Love, according to the world, is very sexy. Not according to the Bible. The Bible points us toward steady, committed, intimate, not necessarily physically, but inside of each other's souls. So woven together that the two are really one flesh. That's love, and that's more profound, and that's so much better. And a man who'd been married for 47 years should have known that. I can't speak for this author. But let's just try to apply it to ourselves. Are we perhaps taking the bait of the world to buy their definition of love, as opposed to what love is you go home every day after work, you show up, you're there in the morning, you're with your spouse during the day as much as you can be. You are doing the things of life together still, committed, paying bills together, going to church together, making a meal together, watching your favorite Netflix, whatever, together. Now, that doesn't look very, very loving according to the world standard, but the Bible says, oh yeah, now you're talking love. And I find this to be true of all things that God says we should do. It's either our flesh or the world that says, no, that's not fun. All right. I'm not sure God is big into fun. He's not opposed to it. You can have fun. But if you noticed, the fruit of the Spirit doesn't include fun. Love, joy, peace, patience, fun. No, it's not there. What is in that list of fruit? Fruits. Can I say that without getting tagged? Fruits. What are those things that are the rich things? Well, I mean, okay. It's some sort of fling, some sort of tryst, fleeting, dangerous, destructive. Oh, but it's fun. Oh, and it was exciting for a moment. Versus having a steadied heart all the time. Now, I know the one doesn't look as exciting as the other. The latter seems downright dull compared to the former, but not according to the Bible. Those are the rich things. Those are the sweet things. Those are the big things. And if you're young, you would do well to wrestle internally, to reorder your priorities, to recognize, okay, if God said do these things, they must be better things. They must be, because who knows better than the God who created us, the God who is high and holy and lofty and sovereign and righteous and just and good and merciful and loving? Who knows best about what would be best for me? Your God. Trust him. Seek those things. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Seek his lifestyle. And I'm telling you, you'll be happier. That's different than fun. And you're going to be settled, and you're going to have shalom, where it's like, okay, not everything in life is like lined up every single day. The books, you know, they don't always adjust correctly at the end of the day, but I'm settled. What would you pay to be settled all the time? Seriously, what would you pay right now if I said, I can give you a pill that will ensure you never worry about anything again? What would that prescription be worth to you? I suspect a lot, especially if you lean toward being more predisposed to being anxious about things. I'll bet you'd go, oh, okay, I'm interested. Does insurance cover it? Even so, I'm kind of interested in what this thing would cause me, because I'd love to have peace all the time. Seek those things. Peter Heck, writing in his article, sin always leaves wreckage behind. Despite the promises, what is left in its wake is nothing but a sorry array of victim, shame, loss, regret, and consequence. He says, real love, as scripture describes it, is not built on infatuation. It had to have been what older men seek. That's exciting. I'm not satisfied in the love of my spouse of 50 years. No, I need the excitement. No, you don't. It's the lesser thing. From Heck, it's not built on infatuation, nor is it sustained by chemistry. It doesn't survive by shared hobbies, physical attraction, or emotional excitement. Those things may occupy love in its early stages, but they are not love's foundation. So what is? God teaches us love is something that is forged over time, shaped by covenant, tested by suffering, refined by forgiveness, strengthened by endurance. And then you build love that is so much more profound, that is so much richer, so much more stabilizing, that you'll never seek any lesser love. Perhaps that's a lesson from this current tragedy. This is Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Can a loving God be wrathful? If God loves righteousness, loves people, and wants what is best for his creation, he must hate what runs contrary to his will. God must always respond to sin with wrath, and his wrath must be satisfied. It is either satisfied on the cross, or each person will bear God's wrath eternally in hell. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is going to hurt Jimmy more than it's going to hurt me. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy,
yeah.
This is going to pain you to hear, but I'm normal.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't expect guffawing. I'm normal, at least according to one post on the YouTube video that we made about why men over the age of 50 take some sort of spiritual or moral header. Because on the radio program, when we were talking about this famous evangelical who took Hindenburg end of his life, just disaster, having an affair for 8 years. I think I commented kind of briefly, I don't know how you can even like do that and keep everything straight. But besides, it's like, how do you even like sneak away? Because I'm with my wife like all the time, like a lot. And I said, you know, maybe that's not normal. And somebody posted on the YouTube machine, actually, that's like one of the best things you can do to keep your marriage safe. Mm-hmm. So it looks like I'm normal, Jimmy. Are you swallowing that pill, no, pally boy?
I can buy that one. I like hanging out with my wife.
You spend time with that woman and you go, oh, kind of lost interest. You don't know what love is. You're missing the boat. Really? Really? At your age, you just want to feel like, oh, I'm a sexy guy. No, you're 70. You should know better. Love is more profound. It's more rich. It's deeper. You've had babies together. You've changed diapers together. You've purchased a home together. You've lost money together. You perhaps experienced a nice meal or vacation together. And it's the years and it's all the bits in between. Just the being there. Something grows. Something happens. And you get knit together the way that you're supposed to in a one flesh union. And so one of the comments that people left was cultivate that. And if it's off track, get it back on track. Even if it doesn't feel like the most exciting thing in the world, it is the best thing in the world because that is God's prescription for what love is. Enduring, committed, faithful, integrated. That is like, now we're talking stuff. That's the stuff. Cultivate that relationship. If you don't, look out, dude or dudette. You're headed toward trouble. Receive some emails on the subject. Also, you mentioned that you and your wife... Oh, here's another... Here it is right here, Jimmy. This is the email. You mentioned you and your wife are joined at the hip in an excessive way, but that's exactly why it's not likely to happen to someone like you. I think it is less often caused by lack of accountability to a church... and more often due to a lack of proper relationship with the wife. I mean that both emotionally and sexually. If you work on your relationship together, there's not much room for anyone else. Indeed. Now, I don't know where his church, like the spectrum of relationship with wife and church. I say both. You really do need both. You need a place where people are like, bro, when you guys first started coming to church, maybe this is going to sound kind of trite. I was so taken by this. You guys, you held hands when you came in the parking lot. I've noticed you don't do that anymore. Mind like observing weirdness or one-off stuff? How you doing? That's, we need that. We need one another. Oh, this was from Walt correcting my use of the word affair. He said, it doesn't carry the sting of the word adultery. Fair enough point, dude. Fair enough point. And then somebody sent me a link. What does the Bible say about finishing well? It had 14 pages of Bible verses. In other words, if you're not working on finishing well, you're probably, you might not take a tumble like the one that we saw last week, but it's not going to be a strong, you're not going to break through the tape. Not going to set any records. We want to enter eternity into our glorious inheritance. We want to enter strong and finishing well. Isn't that what Paul talked about repeatedly? And I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I made it. And how did he describe it? It was a fight. It's a fight to get to the finish. It's a race. And people, well, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. I think it's both. Yeah, there's times, man, you got to put the pedal down and you got to really focus on stuff. Because if you're not shoring it up, if you're letting it slip, if you're getting lazy and sloppy, look out. You are going to careen. You're going to hit the rocks. It's a fight. It's a race. I was about Acts 20. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's what's at stake here. You get to testify about the grace of God as you get to the finish line. You get to right up until the end, in perhaps the most powerful way in your life, exhibit the grace of God on your deathbed. Are you perhaps at the age where life has kind of lost its excitement because you kind of seen it, been there, done that, got the trophy, took the snap, and yeah, nothing exciting happening. You get to die and you get to be a testimony to the grace of God, and you will either do it well or not. And that is something you've never done before. I know that sounds silly, but it's like, ah, oh, there's just nothing new in life. You're going to get to die. You're going to get to leave this current mortal coil and be with your Savior. And as you do, the people who are at your deathbed, the people who might be tending to you, watching you, prescribing for you, you can testify to the grace of God. Be strong before you get into your deathbed so you can finish well. Hebrews 12:1. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You've seen those videos where somebody's like, they were running the marathon. They come into the arena, they've got a lap to go, and all of a sudden they get wobbly, and then everybody starts passing them. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Train now. 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I find myself disqualified. I got to tell you, that is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. You've been preaching the gospel maybe your entire life, at least your entire adult life, and you're disqualified because it is revealed that you weren't actually in the race at all? Yeah. That's scary business. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 2 John 1:8, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. How many rewards do you want in heaven? Finishing strong, I think we'll get you one because you're a testimony. And that is why this horrible trend, especially in Canada, but it's happening more in America, that we end people's lives so early because it's hard. I get it, and it's easy for me to say that at the moment I'm not experiencing any aches or pains. I'm just standing here. I'm fine. I get it. This ongoing pain, oh, hard. But that also magnifies what people see in you as you suffer to the end, because you know that you are making your way to the finish line and there's going to be a prize for you. And just like the rest of the message in 1 Peter, you're looking at your salvation, you're grounded in your faith, so glorious a salvation that you're growing in sanctification for what? And so you can proclaim the excellencies of God. That's why we're here. And you can do that on your deathbed. Train now. Don't do spiritually what we tend to do physically when you get older. You used to be so much more athletic. You would jump. If you would see something across, okay, if you got OCD, you'll appreciate this. You're sitting in a chair. You look across the room. There's a picture on the wall two rooms over that's crooked. What did you used to do? Jump up and move it and get it lined up. Otherwise, you go bonkers. Now you sit there and go, I'll get it when I get up and maybe remember when I walk by to fix it. Don't do that spiritually. Let us not grow weary of doing good, Galatians 6:9. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. For which of you desiring to build a tower, asked Jesus, does not first sit down and count the cost? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and wasn't able to finish. Sir, What do you currently need to do to not be that man? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.